And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. And did you know that Revelation 2, verse 26 talks about the overcomers, those who overcome the world? Jesus said, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." What a promise that is, friends. And today I want to talk about a subject that it's going to easily fill this hour. I know I'm not going to have enough time. I've got so much material here. It's about prophecy and how prophecy is ever steadily marching onward. Prophecy marches onward. That's the topic for today. And it's exciting. And I'm going to show you today where everything is coming together. The most amazing things are happening in this world. I mean, sometimes we don't notice them. We pick up today's paper and then tomorrow's and the next day's. But we need to connect the dots. It's more than dots. I mean, God is sending us entire missiles. He's sending us documents that are huge. He's sending us a message. You know, the Bible tells us to use certain things that God has even done as examples, ensamples, the Bible calls them in good old King James English. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Do you see what it's saying here? It says, you need to pay attention to what God has done before. Prophecy is marching onward, and we're reaching the culmination point. We're reaching the cataclysm, the end of all things. I don't know when it's going to happen, the final, the last bit. God is just so merciful, isn't he? He's been so patient. I don't have the patience God has. I would have destroyed the whole thing a long time ago, but that's just Tex Mars. You see, that's because I don't have the tender mercies of God. I wish I did. I pray for more tender mercies from God. That's one of my chief prayers to God. Because I get indignant. I get, when I see war, when I see murders, when I see rapes, when I see the degradations of young people today, when I see the horror of what our politicians are doing, I just get angry. I just get indignant. I'm like Lot. I'm vexed by the conversation, the filthy conversation of the wicked. When I turn on the television, I just can't take it anymore. Now, to some extent, I know that that's the way we're supposed to feel as Christians. If you feel comfortable with the world, you're not one of God's children. You cannot feel good about what's going on. I feel like little Dorothy in that movie, The Wizard of Oz. Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. We're not in America anymore, friends. This is a savage, cruel world. I'm ready for Jesus to come and take us all away, we that believe in him. The rest of the world doesn't, they don't want us anyway. And I don't want to be with them. But God has a role for us. He has a mission for us. I'm not going to leave till he calls me. I'm not going to commit suicide. Are you crazy? You'd have to be. Anybody that kills himself would have to be insane. I don't know what it is, but I tell you something, friends, on my deathbed, I'm going to be preaching the truth. Some people may not want to come visit me when I'm in the hospital or at home on my deathbed, if that's the way I go out of this world. They may say, you know, I don't want to go. That Tex Mars, he's still preaching. You don't get any respite. You don't get any rest from that Tex Mars guy. What a way to go out. I'd like to go out that way, preaching. I've heard about preachers that died at the pulpit. Just had a heart attack and died at the pulpit. You say, well, poor soul. I don't think so. God took them right while they were preaching his word, hopefully. If they were men of God. What a way to go. I'd like to go like that. I wouldn't mind if Jesus took me right now while I'm doing this program. I mean, that would be okay. But you know what? I'm not going to go till he calls me. And if he does, it's okay. He didn't need me down here anymore. He's got other people. I'm not that essential. I have a lot of good friends that write to me and say, Tex, without your ministry, we couldn't make heads or tails out of what's really going on in society. You expose things that nobody else does. You touch things that nobody dare to touch. Well, that makes me feel real good, and I appreciate that. And I know what our ministry is, and that's what I want to be. But listen to me. If God calls me on, he'll call somebody else to do those things. Might be calling you right now, friends. Maybe you're being called to help me do this work. It's possible. He has done things in history that we should take note of, because prophecy marches onward and we can look to the past to see what God did to know what he's going to do in the future. We know that he didn't even spare the angels. They sinned and they were cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness. And he didn't spare the old world. Only Noah and his immediate family were saved. And look at what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities of homosexual sin and degradation. He condemned them, the Bible says, with an overthrow. He overthrew them. And he made an example of them for us today. We better pay attention. That's an example for us today. But he delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Saw a young 21-year-old girl. She was so pretty. Beautiful blue-eyed blonde girl. She sat down and she was talking to Wanda and I, and everything went okay until she got mad about something that she said her dad had done. He didn't give her what she wanted about something or other. And she used the F word. You know what the F word is? Talking about her own father. Now, we were just talking to this girl. We were trying to help her. She uses the F word. Suddenly, she wasn't pretty at all. She wasn't lovely at all. She was an ugly old hag in my eyes. She had dirtied herself with her own language. Filthy conversation of the wicked. And that vexed me. Why would a beautiful young lady, given the gift of physical beauty by God, make herself filthy with her conversation? Well, she probably does it all the time to other people, but she was with the wrong man and woman. You see, I don't talk like that in front of Wanda. Wanda and I have been married almost 30 years, but I don't curse around Wanda. I don't say bad words like that around Wanda. I have respect for my wife, Wanda. 30 years almost of marriage, and I don't use profanity around her. My dad never cursed, and one time he was working on the car, and the jack fell down and almost crushed him under the car, and I heard my dad say a bad word, and you know what? There he was. The car had fallen on him. His hand got all smashed, and he said a curse word. And you know the first thing he did was, I was just a little boy, about 6 years old, and I was looking under the car, you see. And you know, they had those old-fashioned jacks, and boy, they weren't very reliable, and the car fell on him. Could have crushed him and killed him. And he said a curse word. I'm not going to say what it is. It wasn't God's name in vain, but it was a bad word. And the first thing he did, you know what he did? After he made that curse word, and there he was under that car, and I had to call for help to get people to come and pull up the car so he could get out. But you know, the first thing, he looked over at me, and he said, "I'm sorry, son." Made an impression on me. Was he sorry that the car fell on him? Well, he's probably sorry about that, too. But he looked over at me. I just said a filthy word in front of my son. Some people said my dad wasn't the best. They could have said he wasn't the best Christian in the world. But I know what he was. He was a wonderful man. He's passed on now. He's with the Lord Jesus. But I'll never forget that look in his eyes. That look. He was more upset at disappointing me than he was at the possibility that in a few more minutes he would be dead. Father, listen to me. Do you feel that way about your sons? Is that the love you have for your sons? But Lot was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. Every day he was worried about it and hurt about it and concerned about it. Listen to what the Bible says about the book of Revelation. Revelation 22. And he saith unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely," says verse 17. Do you know that at a certain time in history, and I believe we're close to that time, maybe we're in that time, it says that if you're unjust, if you're filthy, then you'll stay that way. Now, a lot of people say, "Oh, no, God never closes the door." I'm telling you, friends, there is a time in which God says it's too late. If you're filthy, you're going to remain unfilthy from now on. If you're unjust, you'll remain unjust. But if you're righteous, you're going to stay righteous. If you're holy, let him be holy still. And whatever you are, if you're unjust, if you're filthy, or if you're righteous and holy, God says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Whosoever will. Now you have an opportunity, because he's saying whosoever will. You say, "Well, I can't because I'm a Jew." Really? Do you fall under the category of whosoever will? Yes, you do, dear Jewish friend. Well, I can't because as a young teenager, I was involved in a blood pact with Satan. I gave my soul to Satan, and I was told by the Satan priest that I could never again worship Jesus. My soul was lost to the devil. I cannot come. Well, let me say it again. God says, whosoever will. Does that include people who gave their heart to Satan previously? Yes, it does. Do you think Satan can stop God? If God wants to save you, what devil from hell can stop him? None. You were just told a lie. That's all. I don't care if you were a Jew and you believed in the Talmud and the rabbis taught you all kind of terrible things about Jesus and you think now because you believe those things you cannot be saved. Well, that's just part of the lie. But there is coming a time when your opportunity will be cut off. And I believe it's here today. Let me give you some examples of that. The way the world is, it's getting to the point now where they have so blasphemed and so mocked God. I don't see any remedy left. Recently in the news, Miss USA, Tara Conner, a beautiful young lady, came out that she was getting drunk, underage girl. She's only 20 years old. And then she was sighted in public at some nightclub, kissing, smooching with Miss Teen USA. Let me get this straight. Miss USA and Miss Teen USA doing a little lesbian stuff out in public. Depraved people. Well, Donald Trump, who owns the Miss USA pageant, you would have thought years ago it was owned by the people of America. But he owns it. He and his Taj Mahal, get the Hindu name, the Taj Mahal from India, gambling casino and the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey. They own the Miss USA and the Miss Teen USA pageants. And she goes on TV and tearfully thanked Donald Trump for forgiving her. Did she ever think about asking God for forgiveness? No. I'm so glad Donald Trump has forgiven me. Trump, of course, is Jewish. And they're in Atlantic City and in Las Vegas. And by the way, isn't it ironic that within days it came out that the Miss Nevada from Las Vegas, Nevada, also was outed for her lesbian kisses and such. And her showing off her whole body, naked poses, on some internet websites. And, she asked Donald Trump for forgiveness too, but he refused to forgive her. Guess he can forgive whoever he wants. He has the money. He tells them what to do. I don't think it's any accident, do you, that Las Vegas has many hotels and buildings, the architecture built on the old Roman style. This is from the Pit of Rome, isn't it? Caesar's Palace. Caesar's Palace. Then there's also the Egyptian motif. There's the Luxor Hotel, built like a huge Egyptian pyramid of the pharaohs. Are those things by accident? No wonder there are the brothels and the whorehouses of Nevada. One they call the cat house, I understand. I can get that. You know, in ancient Egypt, they worshipped Bast, the goddess, who supposedly came in the form of a cat. It seems that America's become the whoredom of the world. This is it seems to be the seat where Satan dwells. Did you know it's the home of more Jews? America, according to a new study, has more Jews living here than the nation of Israel does. San Francisco seems to be a city not only of Jews, but of homosexuals and whores. It's interesting, San Francisco is named after Saint Francis. And Saint Francis, a Catholic saint, of course, was the one who taught that nature is God. And he would pray to, you know, Sister Moon and Brother Sun. San Francisco, home of the queers. And by the way, one of the most prominent architectural features of San Francisco is the Pyramid Tower. The Pyramid Tower. Let's see some more things happening in the United States of America. In one of my recent newsletters, I had the feature article entitled White House Bordello. I showed that the White House, that is in Washington, D.C., the home, the residence, and the official offices of the President of the United States, has become nothing more than a whorehouse. And in fact, George W. Bush, our president, is a bisexual. And his homosexual lover, Jeff Gannon, visited the White House hundreds of times late at night and in the wee hours of the morning. Our White House is a whorehouse. But it seems our even our Christian colleges are becoming that way. You know, somebody, the people of Canada Christian College, up in the nation of Canada, which is just like America. This is from Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And the president, Dr. Charles McVitie, sent me a letter. I guess he sent it out to all kinds of people, but I got a copy of it. He starts by saying, "Dear friend, I want to thank you for working with Canada Christian College." Well, I've never worked with Canada Christian College. I don't know how he got our mailing address. But he says, "We're living in exciting times where our efforts are making a difference." Well, that sort of interested me. I wanted to know what this Christian college up in Toronto, what kind of difference are they making? Then he says, "For the first time in Canadian history, we have a government that is unequivocally supporting Israel." That's the difference they're making? They're supporting Israel? Isn't he aware that in Matthew 23, Jesus told the Jews and Jerusalem that Jerusalem would remain desolate until the Son of Man returns, until Jesus returns? Jesus prophesied that Israel would remain a desolate place. Desolate, worthless, good for nothing until he comes again. What are these people doing supporting Israel? Then he goes on to say, Israel is the apple of God's eye. No, it's not. When it was in God's will, it was, but it's not in God's will. The rabbis hate and despise Jesus in Israel today. And he said, please send us money. We're going to be supporting Israel more and more. Please send us money. We're going to support this ungodly Israel, says Dr. Charles McVitie, president of this so-called Christian college. And then there's a P.S. on his letter. A P.S. on this man's letter from Canada Christian College. He says, P.S., a youth hip-hop concert has been added to our rock and roll. On Friday, December 1st, details and tickets are available at www.christianconcerts.ca. Please make your checks payable to Canada Christian College. Isn't that wonderful? They're going to have a youth hip hop concert. And they're supporters of Israel. Now, doesn't that just make your heart fuzzy and warm? And if that's not prophetic, the falling away, the great falling away, prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this will give you a little bit of prophecy. According to the New York Daily News, January 4th, 2007, a new postal law lets Bush peek through your mail. The Bush administration and its big brother agents can now read your mail. They couldn't read your mail before without a court judge's warrant, but now, according to the press, he signed a new postal reform. They love to call it reform when they deform things. It should have been called the Postal Deform Bill, but it's the Postal Reform Bill. Bush signed it into law December 12th, and on the bill, he issued a signing statement that declared the government has the right to open people's mail. Wow. Can you believe it? They're reading your mail now. And let's get to the newspapers. Evidently, the press is now waking up to the fact that most of the news that's coming out of Iraq was produced by government propaganda mills. Story about it in the Austin American Statesman Friday, December 1st. They've taken 3 or 4 years to find that out. All they had to do was listen to Power of Prophecy. I would have told them. I have told them. Then there's another act in addition to the Postal Deform Act. The Military Commissions Act. Boy, that sounds good. Military Commissions Act. Gives them the right to arrest any American for what they say. Now they can put you in prison. Now they can put you in jail for what you say. American public speakers can go to jail for things you say about America. Keith Olbermann, MSNBC commentator, had the courage to say, "This is the beginning of the end of America." Under the Military Commissions Act, you can be taken away as a dangerous potential terrorist threat. Notice that, potential, simply for what you say. Wow. Then here's another bit of news for you. October 21, 2006, U.S. Army announces readiness for total military takeover of America. If necessary, in event of national emergency, says Sorchafal, a Russian intelligence analyst. Notice how the press won't tell you this over here. She says the U.S. Army stands ready to help in an emergency with a total military takeover of America. Wow. Meanwhile, the Washington Post News Service did an article titled, "Court told it lacks power in detainee cases." It says, moving quickly to implement a new law signed by President Bush this week that authorizes military trial of combatants, so-called. Anybody that the Bush calls a combatant is a combatant. I guess I'm combating the Bush administration right now by criticizing them. So I'm a potential terrorist. I'm a combatant. Says here, the administration has formally notified the U.S. District Court here in Washington, D.C. that it no longer has jurisdiction to consider hundreds of habeas corpus petitions filed by people who have already become inmates under the new law. Did you get that? They can jail you without a trial, and now they say the courts have no jurisdiction. They can't free you. Prophecy marches onward. Stay with us, friends. We've got a lot more to tell you about how we're becoming a police state and how prophecy is marching onward and destruction is now in sight. This is Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. It's over 600 pages in length. It contains over 1,000 photographs and illustrations. It's entitled Codex Magica. and it totally exposes the Illuminati with pictures that you can see. Their handshakes, their body gestures. You'll discover how they communicate and how they invoke and invite in devils. How they're committing secret satanic rituals right before our eyes. It's my newest book. It's created quite a sensation. And I'll tell you, people all over the world, from France, from Great Britain, have invited me on radio shows. In fact, I've been doing a weekly show on British radio, national radio. And people over there cannot believe that someone had the courage to write and publish this book. But we did. Now, I want to tell you, I realize that the hounds of hell are going to be coming against me. They already are. But I don't care. Somebody had to tell the truth. And I want to tell you, friends, I've been researching this book for years and years. This is not a book that I wrote in 1 week or a month or a year. It took years. Sandra, who does our books here and our graphics work, she's right here in the studio now. She'll testify to you that I threatened to publish this book for years. She would come in and say, when are you going to do that book? Well, how about that book? We didn't have a name on it yet, but we knew sort of what it was going to be about. I said, well, I'm adding to my collection. And when, you know, comes time, we finally published the book. And man, whew, Codex Magica. Now, I'll tell you, we asked $4 shipping and handling for this book. And it is the biggest book you'll see. It's like a phone book from New York City or something. It's a huge book. It's about the size of three other books. And that's why it costs $35. You may say, oh, you're just greedy. You want to make money. Well, friends, that's just not true. In fact, I have a little secret for you. We lost money last year in this ministry. The only way we serve, that is in selling things. We sell things, and I'm telling you, we lose money. The only way we've been able to survive is with your love gifts. That's the only thing that's brought us through. I guess we'd be eating popcorn and living under the trees here, all of our staff, if it hadn't been for your love gifts. A lot of people say, well, I wonder if I gave a love gift of $25 or $50 or $100 or more to Power Prophecy, what would they use the money for? Well, I may very well go to pay our salaries so we can live, you know, we can eat and things like that, you know, like most people do. And I'd like to do more for our employees. We don't even have medical insurance here. And when people get sick, they're on their own. And I don't think that's right. And I want to do something about that. And I'm going to be asking for your help in doing some of those things this year for our employees. We have employees here that have been with us almost 15 years. And they've been faithful. And we don't even have medical insurance for them. Well, anyway, we need your help. One way is to buy this book, $35. But the book will reward you itself, dear friends. Now, if you'd like to give a love gift to this ministry, I want to encourage you in that too. We do need your help. I don't often ask for it, but I'm asking today. Here's our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, or just write to Tex Mars. 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, if you send a love gift to Tex Mars, I put it through the ministry. I don't ever open an envelope and put money in my own pocket. I suppose if you told me to and said, Tex, this is for you personally, you know, I might do that. But right now, I've never done anything but put it in the ministry. I've never taken any money for myself directly from your envelopes and everything, you know. Now, you know, we do, of course, it goes in the ministry and it may finally end up. I do have to eat and, you know, have a house and drive a car and all those things myself. So I suppose that some of your love gifts, of course, naturally would come my way. But what I mean by that is, I don't just say, oh, here's a love gift. Great. I'll put it in my pocket. It goes through the ministry, through the regular machinery, and everybody sees exactly how much we took in and how much we spent and all those things. Because you know what, friends? We're stewards for God's money. Every penny you give, you're given for God's work. I take that seriously. And I can tell you right now, there's one promise I want to make to you. I've never said this on the air before. I guess I just never felt there was a need to. But people do write to me and they say, Tex, how can I trust you? Look at all the things that have occurred. You know, with the Jimmy Swaggart things and the James Baker and the Ted Haggard debacle. Can I trust you? Well, it's too easy just to say, oh yeah, you can trust me. It's so easy to do. But I want to tell you something, friends. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. We've been here for 20 years. And I'll tell you something. If I went out and did what Ted Haggard or Jimmy Swaggart did, you don't have to worry about God punishing me. My wife Wanda would kill me. I like to joke she has a samurai sword stored in a closet somewhere. And if I did those kind of things, I promise you I would lose my head. She's a sweetheart. She's a kind person. But, you know, I couldn't blame her. So I don't do those things. I don't smoke pot. I don't take meth or coke or any of those things. I don't embezzle money. I guess I'm just a plain drab old guy. I'm not an exciting guy at all. I don't do any of those things. I don't visit strip clubs. I don't go anywhere without Wanda. And I'll tell you, the only kind of things we like are, well, I don't know, she wants me to take her to some gospel, Southern gospel singing thing in San Antonio in February, and I don't even want to go there, you know. I said, well, we can watch on TV, can't we? And we can get a DVD. She is patient with me, but anyway. Yes, indeed. Sorry, I don't have any scandal. I can't reform or deform, as I call it. I can't say I'm going for rehabilitation. I'm not a drunkard. What can I do? I'm just Tex Mars. I'm not perfect. You know, I'm thanks to God, when I do the wrong thing, he slaps me beside the head sometimes and says, straighten up, boy. I sort of like it when God does. I'd feel bad if God didn't straighten me out. If I went out and did something wrong and then I didn't feel guilty, I'd know I wasn't his child. But I don't have any of those things to report to you. I do have, one time I was asked, you know, do you have any skeletons in your closet? And I said, yes. They said, well, what is it? They got, you know, really excited, thought they really had me. I said, well, about 40 years ago, I voted Democrat. That's it. That's the biggest skeleton. And I did that, you know. That was in the days before Democrats were a bunch of San Francisco gay weirdos, you know. And even then, I really wasn't a Democrat. I wasn't Democrat or Republican. Just happened to be the candidate. That's the only the skeleton in my closet. 40 years ago, I voted Democrat one time. Now I'm ashamed to vote Republican, though, or Democrat. So, anyway. Our address here, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, you can use your charge card and buy Codex Magica. That phone number is toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673 in the U.S. and Canada. Overseas, call us anyway. Or you can call anytime on our regular phone line, and that is 512-263-9780. And that'll get us every time. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30 Central Time. And you can leave a message if we're not here. And, of course, we have our internet website. You can order the book Codex Magica there. Those sites are powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. See how easy it is. Or just texmars.com, T-E-X-E. I know it's spelled funny. MARRS.com. Now let's return our regular program. And let's look at some other things going on in the world today. Hey, here's a news item for you. Europe moves to kill the internet. Article dated October 17, 2006 by Steve Watson. They want to kill online freedom. You see, before they have, even now they control all the mass media. And they're mad. They're angry. They don't like websites like powerofprophecy.com or prisonplanet.com or some of the others or criminalpolitics.com. No, they want to kill the internet. And so there's a proposed European Union directive. And they're going to try to stop us. Already, the Jewish ADL has set up filtering software for libraries. A good friend of this ministry said, Tex, I don't own a computer myself, but I always go to our library about once every 2 weeks. And I go and use their computer, and I love to read the articles, free articles, on your website, powerprophecy.com. But this week I went to my library here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and guess what? They filtered you out. And I went to them, I said, what is this? I can't get this website. Every time I do, a little message comes up and says, this is a hate group. And I can't get to your website anymore at the library. Oh, we're classified in their filtering software as a hate group? Huh. Isn't that interesting? Jesus loved the whole world so much that he willingly went to the cross for them. We preach Jesus. That makes us a hate group? Well, in terms of the world today, I guess that's it. We tell the truth, we're a hate group. And they want to kill the internet. Of course they do. Naturally they do. Meanwhile, not only do they consider the internet a threat, because up to now they have not been able to totally control it. All the little people out there keep setting up websites. Oh, they monitor us. They have their police watching us at the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Organization, and all the other groups that they're spending billions of dollars of your taxpayer monies on. They're watching us, but they can't seem to stop us. We're like little ants. We're like little termites in their house of pollution. All the time we're burrowing little and making little trails and tunnels. And someday they're going to collapse like a house of cards. And man, are they worried about it. But prophecy marches onward. What else is a threat to the New World Order boys and girls? Well, according to Bill Clinton, he recently had a one world government conference in New York. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Bill Clinton, he called it the Clinton Global Initiative. It attracted 1,000 of the world's most prominent international movers, shakers, and thugs. Well, the news item doesn't say thugs. I just added that for a little color. But it is very accurate. A three-day conference, which kicked off last September in New York. They claim they're going to do it every year now. It will, quote, forge a new level of global cooperation. Oh, my goodness, my hair stands on end. I'm so thrilled at this global cooperation stuff. It will help us to find solutions, says this news report, to global poverty, religious conflict, and global warming. Oh, we got to stop global warming. Even though, friends, I opened up my newspaper 2 weeks ago, and you know what it said? Biggest snowfalls in history hit Colorado. That cannot be, can it? Biggest snowfalls in history hit Colorado. Third straight winter storm in a row. Blizzards. Cattle freezing. They can't get hay and food to the cattle out in the fields in Colorado, the farmers say. It's global warming. Evidently, they forgot to tell the cows up in Colorado that it's warming. They're freezing to death. Meanwhile, Here's another item for you. This winter, Anchorage says, is the coldest in history. Anchorage, Alaska. I thought the polar bears were about to melt their ears off up there. They say the up the North Pole and all that, the icebergs are melting. Oh, things are so terrible. But Anchorage, Alaska says, the coldest ever on record. Global warming? What liars. What liars. Don't believe these people. Prophecy marches onward. At the Clinton One World Conference, guess what they decided was one of the top threats to world peace? Religion. Religion. Their focus was on religious conflict and resolution. And they said that the various religions of the world need to represent a unifying and stabilizing force for good. But now they're a major obstacle to world peace and harmony because they don't get along. There must be more liberal views toward religion, says reporter Mary Jo Anderson. And the Catholic Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal McCarrick, said all the religions need to work together to forge solution to the world's problems. That's it. Now I see why I'm a hate group. I'm a threat to world peace because I'm an exclusivist. I say Jesus exclusively is the way to world peace. And they say, Tex Mars, that is dangerous. And you know, does your audience, Tex Mars, actually believe that? That Jesus is the only way? They must be dangerous too. Do you know the world thinks you're a dangerous group? Recently reading the book of Acts again in the Bible. And they complained about the early Christians. They said, these people are troublemakers. They are turning the world upside down. That's why they want to get us off the internet today. That's why we're a dangerous threat to world peace and unity. We who believe that Jesus is not the best way, not a way, not one of many ways, but the only way, we are the threat to world peace, they say. And they want to do away with us. Now, who is the sponsor of this Clinton One World Government conference that addressed the threat of religious bigots like Tex Mars? Well, it says here, let's see, those who gave internationalist groups interested in the United Nations agenda, such as, do you get that? Here's the groups. I'm going to name them. According to this news report, these are internationalist groups interested in the United Nations agenda, and they were sponsors of the Clinton Global Initiative. They include Microsoft Corporation, Bill Gates Group, Microsoft, Starbucks. Ah, yes, now we have the great goddess as a mermaid as our little logo, Starbucks Coffee, Hewlett Packard, Google, Yahoo, Goldman Sachs, and of course, the people who are always for killing off most of the world's population, the Rockefeller Foundation. And each of these groups have given over $250,000 to the Clinton extravaganza. Isn't that exciting? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Well, let's look some more at things. Here's something for you. If you listened to me a while ago and you believe what I said, that global warming is a hoax, did you know that there is a United States-based environmental magazine that is warning people about you? And they say that Nuremberg-style trials should be given you. You should be put on trial. You're a killer because you don't believe global warming. If you're a skeptic, Grist magazine staff writer David Roberts says those who doubt global warming are so dangerous that they should be arrested and given a Nuremberg-style trial, just like those who they claimed were responsible for the Holocaust. But, of course, there's questions about that today. But in any case, there in Nuremberg, Germany, after World War II, those responsible for the Holocaust, supposedly Goering and the others, were hung. They want to take and hang you. What for? Your thought crime. You don't believe their lie about global warming, and they say we cannot allow skeptics. In fact, in this magazine, Grist magazine, GRIS2, published September 19, 2006, David Roberts says those who do not believe or who criticize global warming as the truth are bastards. Huh? That's what he calls us. Bastards. B-A-S-T-A-R-D-S. Now, that's not a curse word. It's in your dictionary. Of course, I think it's a curse word. That's what you are because you don't believe in global warming. Now, he can call us those names if he wants to. This guy, this David Roberts of Grist Magazine, this environmental group, he can call me these names if he wants to, but now he wants to put me in prison. Give me a Nuremberg-style trial. Well, of course, a Nuremberg-style trial was one where the defendants had no constitutional rights whatsoever. They were tried by a bunch of kangaroo lackey jurists. You know, it's like bring in the guilty parties and let's give them a fair trial and hang them all. That's what they did at Nuremberg. Yeah, they're all guilty. Let's give them a trial. Find them guilty, hang them. Let's televise it, of course, so that future generations will know. Whatever we say is against the law is against the law. We'll hang you for it if we want to. Now global warming skepticism is to be against the law and you're to be given a Nuremberg warming skeptic. They say just as Holocaust deniers should be punished severely because of their beliefs, their statements against Holocaust lies, global warming deniers must be punished. Al Gore says that, in fact. That's right, former vice president, the man who actually won the presidential election. He won the popular vote. He now says that global warming deniers must be punished. He says that global warming skepticism is a crime comparable to Holocaust atrocities. You're just like those commandants of concentration camps that sent Jews and others to the gas chambers if you don't believe in global warming. Now, these are the same kind of people, friends, that brought us 9/11. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 19 dumb Arabs, towel heads, right? Yeah, sure. That's what it was. Dumb towel head Arabs, 19 of them. All from Iraq. No? You say 16 of the 19 were from Saudi Arabia? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. But in any case, the fact is, the same people that want to fry you and me, or hang us or whatever, for doubting their little environmental pet theories, I think are the same people covering up the 9/11 atrocities. You know who did it. It wasn't 19 Arabs. It was the Israeli Mossad working with the CIA and rogue extra-governmental agencies. You know that. And then I want to bring to your attention the hanging of Saddam Hussein. If you don't think Prophecy is marching onward, I was looking at that. And I watched it. One time. It was sickening. Here was this man brought in by these black hooded figures. He was the only one with dignity. You say, Tex, surely you don't believe that. Yes, I do. There, those hanging him were a bunch of ignorant, evil, satanic marauders. And Saddam Hussein, to my surprise, showed no fear and he showed dignity. He showed he was a man. I wish he'd been a Christian. I do. Because he showed he was a man. Dignified. And there he stood and they taunted him. They mocked him. They cursed him. Of course, they only allowed those people that were part of their circle. Think about it. They said he was like a Hitler. He was a thug. He was a mass murderer. But he was dignified. And the new government that America put in charge, there they were with black hoods. Looked like something from out of the French Revolution, taking King Louis and the innocent Marie Antoinette to the guillotine. And they began, after he looked on them, and as they cursed him and did all those horrible things, he just looked down on them. And you know what he said to them? Is this what you call manhood? He made fun of them. He simply said, is this what you call manhood? And then he said, long live Allah. I wish he'd have said Jesus. I wish some guard who'd been a Christian could have been put with him and caused him to believe in Jesus, but they didn't, I guess. In any case, he said, long live the people of Iraq, down with the invaders. He showed dignity. And after they hung the man, they danced. And the news reports that I hear, reliable news reports, say they then desecrated his body. Desecrated his body. I don't want to know what they did to it. These people who are now in charge of Iraq, who work hand in hand with the American monsters who are over there. Yes, I call Americans monsters. It recently came out that our soldiers took people one out of one at a road stop and shot them in the head. They stopped a vehicle. I think there were, six or eight people in it. And one by one, they took them out and put a bullet in their head. In another case, they killed a whole family after raping a 15-year-old girl. Americans. Torture. Sadistic brutality. Mass murder. And then we wonder why those people are angry? Isn't this prophecy marching onward? Our president saying, I have the authority to crush the testicles of a little baby if it can make the father's confession come forth. That's what the Bush administration claims it has the authority. The Justice Department. What Justice Department? What justice? Prophecy is marching onward. This is the bleak black future, friends. Black hooded people with guillotines and ropes. And all of this was prophesied in the Bible. Believe it. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today, and my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.